When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
On the Blood Red Channel, bringing you the view from the terraces at Liverpool FC.
Welcome to the new season and a new edition of Allez les Rouges. I'm your host, Peter Hooton, and we've got the regulars back and raring to go after the summer break. Well, what an absolutely mad week it's been. Been bids, counter-bids, rumours, all sorts of speculation. But what would have been a British transfer record? What did you make of the soap opera, Molo? I mean, it was, Thursday night we were getting rumours of the bid, then Friday morning the bid's gone in. By the afternoon, everyone was depressed again, weren't they?
Well, being honest with you, I didn't know much about it, about 10 o'clock on Thursday, and I didn't see nothing until I got off for work in the morning, and then I had a spring in my step. I was made up. This is the signing he wants, because him and McAllister together would have been brilliant. Played together down at Brighton. And it was, we were texting. I spoke to John, I think it was 6:30 in the morning. And we were having a chat. This is the start of it now. He's getting his second team together now. That's what, he's rebuilt. This is where we're going now. And what we should have done 12 months ago, by the way, I think. So, it was all good, and then it just, as the hours went on, it was sort of going downhill a bit, wasn't it? And it was so frustrating when you sort of knew within like half a day it wasn't happening, kind of thing. Yeah. You got little snippets from journalists, saying a few things on social media and going,
well, these journalists have become bigger than the players, haven't they? It's just ridiculous.
Well, it was funny,
James Pearce signed shirts in Singapore, didn't you?
But it's funny, some of the stick they were getting, not I don't say James Pearce, it was that Fabrizio, what's his name? Ravanelli, whatever his name is. he was getting it, wasn't he? But he kept coming out with it all, what was going on, where his contacts come from, I don't know. But, it was so frustrating, from being euphoric, on that Friday morning, thinking, we're going to Chelsea on Sunday, everything was great, week late, everything was great.
Yeah, sun was shining. Keith, what was there? I mean, I know you're famously, you don't do social media, but you must have been asking various members of the family what's happening.
Obviously, I knew sort of what had occurred. But to me, it's obviously, I know we're getting criticised for doing things the way we have done, but it was a bit late in the day, wasn't it? It should have been done at the beginning. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, obviously. And they brought in McAllister, and obviously, whatever, I can't pronounce his name, the lad from Germany. And
that's what it was like.
That was good business at the start of the window, but every man and his dog knows you need a defensive midfielder. And we just got embroiled into a situation we couldn't control, really. And it's just sad, really, because I'll be brutally honest with you, I haven't seen that much of Casado other than watching them on the telly, and they played against us, obviously, with Brighton. But no one's worth that amount of money anyway. And I don't think he's a big miss in some respects as a player. We just need a player to fill that void. Now, to pay £115 million for a player like that, I'm not that overly concerned about missing out on him. We just need somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, John, it's mad, isn't it? It's monopoly money. And, there's all sorts of rumours what was going on there. Obviously, you say those people must have encouraged Liverpool to make a bid. I mean, that's what people are saying in the background. So they've encouraged them to make the bid. But obviously, he wants to go to Chelsea. It was just a way of getting Chelsea to up the bid, wasn't it, really? I mean, it's all a bit. It's all a bit clandestine and Shakespearean, isn't it?
Yeah, from I know Liverpool's getting a lot of stick at the minute online, FSG and what have you, but I think in this particular attempt at a transfer, they've obviously spoken to his agent or to Caicedo himself.
Yeah.
And they've agreed, you put the bid in, we're interested. We'll talk, and Liverpool put the bid in, haven't accepted, and then they've reneged on it and left Liverpool, you know.
Well, the Brighton chairman was saying the other day, Liverpool like did everything by the rule book.
Yeah.
In other words, he was criticising, say, those people because, you know, Liverpool did everything by the rule book. But, you know, Mono, it's a jungle out there in transfers.
Yeah, but then, you know, when it was all coming out in out of the wash, like Caicedo saying, well, I'm giving me away because I spoke to them in May. So if that was the case, why did Brighton accept the offer from Liverpool?
Yeah.
So what I mean? So it's, listen, you know, what Virgil van Dijk said last week, all of a sudden, you know, everyone's a director of football.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what's going on. And we don't.
Nobody knows, really.
But, you know, as I said, let's go back a year ago. We had the same conversation in here about defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
A year ago. And we knew, and I think it was Klopp said at the time, we got eight players, and then all of a sudden we never bought anyone, you know, for any of them roles. But then they started getting injuries. We had a lot, and then it was, you know, so that was a massive miss last year. So to go through another season now, maybe with a similar scenario from we should address this, as Keith said, we should address this not just last year, probably 18 months ago. Mm. We should address all this, you know. But it was also interesting what, you know, when Klopp come out on that Friday in his press conference before the game, and he was saying, you know, all the journalists were bringing up about what he said about
100 million Pogba, players
for Pogba, and he said, "Yeah, I was wrong. You know, I hold my hands up." So for me, what I'm thinking on that, he's had to go back to the owner and say, "Look, we can't compete anymore. We keep saying this. You know, FSG got out of jail with Klopp for 5 years. And you know." Building his own team for like 30 million plus players, you know, not much.
Well, I think it was significant, wasn't it, that John Henry was over on Sunday for the Chelsea game, obviously, you know.
But Peter, maybe
that was a coincidence, was it?
I think maybe it was a coincidence because he thought we were going to get the, you know, this player, and I'm here, you know, I'm going to back Liverpool and what have you. But then it goes pear-shaped, doesn't it? So has he gone back now? Has he, or is he still here?
Yeah, nobody knows.
Well, there you go, do you know what I mean? So you know,
well, it was like a few weeks ago, I was listening to another podcast, and I think Paul Joyce was on, and he's regarded as one of the in the knows, isn't he? And basically, he even said, we don't really know what's going on. Because he announced more or less Caicedo was signing, didn't he, on the Thursday night? And because he announced it, everyone thinks, well, it's a done deal, you know? So even the in the know journalists don't know what's going on, you know? It's,
That's no bad thing, though, is it? In some respects, you know, we done our business early with McAllister and and that's the way Liverpool have done. You know, I've seen a piece somewhere about Liverpool over the last couple of years have just done the business and gone on with it.
Yeah,
you're just being dragged into a situation they can't control by other people. And that's the problem, you know.
Yeah,
obviously, as you say, the Brighton chairman saying that, you know, we've done everything by the book, and that's all we can do. You know,
I don't think, Keith. You know, people say, "Oh, it's embarrassing," but
it's not embarrassing.
I don't think that's the case because I think Chelsea have overpaid by probably 50 million.
I'm not that particularly worried on missing out on him. I know I might be proven wrong, and that's fine. I don't think no one's worth that amount of money anyway. But to pay £115 million for a player, you know, of that type, I don't think we should have to do it. You know, but we're going to have to do it now because we seem to be desperate, aren't we? And everyone knows that. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're getting dragged into a situation we can't control.
John, is it a game of poker and we've shown our hand too early? Is that what's happened, do you think?
No, not with Caicedo. I think we've done it in the right way. And from what Mono said before about Brighton shouldn't have accepted it, Brighton's got every right to accept it because Chelsea weren't offering Brighton what they wanted. And Liverpool did offer Brighton a figure based upon the agent and or player being happy that we'd come in for him. And alluding to signing for us.
I think the problem was, wasn't it, John and Morrow? The problem was after the Lavia stuff, you know, that it was going up by 2 million and then another 2 million getting. But obviously Liverpool didn't think he was worth 50 million Otherwise, that's what they would have bid, wouldn't it? And now,
after the debacle of Casado, to go back with a massive offer.
Allegedly, we don't know. The club have denied that, haven't they? But as Benitez used to say, football is a lie.
It's a lie.
You can't trust anyone, can you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. It's a game. This is more or less, it's a game of Monopoly and Cluedo all rolled into one, isn't it? And the figures are just astronomical, aren't they? And I think with Saudi Arabia joining the party, that, you know, they're just going to carry on going up, aren't they? And there's no sign the bubble's going to burst, is it? The Premier League seems to be getting bigger, doesn't it, Keith?
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And, you know, and that's the situation. Everyone, every person who's involved in football, whatever level of that, knows what's involved in the money side of it. So these agents know the ins and outs of everything, don't they? They know exactly what clubs are getting and what they can afford, or what, in some cases you can't afford, but they're still asking for it. It's the agents who are driving all this, in my opinion. Just get the best for them, for their player, and obviously get the best for themselves. Now, that you can't say you can't control that, can you? Once you get involved in an auction, then you know, Chelsea have blown a lot of teams out the water, haven't they, over the time? They've spent a lot of money. Now, but only time will tell whether they've come back to bite them.
But spending like a drunken sailor, though, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, they've got like so many defensive midfield players. Now, what does Chelsea need? They need strikers.
Yeah.
You don't need more defensive midfield players or the players they've been going for. It's just a total scattered gun approach. And we're the laughing stock. No, I think they're the laughing stock.
I think we've been considered and controlled in what we're trying to do. But again, I keep saying we've been dragged into something we can't control now.
Because of other factors
that have been brought into it. Yeah. Liverpool never do things like this, do they? Even the years gone by, they don't get involved in things like this. They just don't do it.
But does that hint at the turmoil behind the scenes in sporting directors?
Possibly, I don't know. You know what I mean? Who knows? But,
yeah.
You know, Klopp knows what he wants and who he wants at most of the time, doesn't he? And he's prepared to wait, as he's done in the past. Now, whether he's had his hand forced because he can't get somebody, he just jumped in to do this. Only he knows that, you know what I mean? And only he'll tell you.
But that's what we said before, Keith. You know, we've wasted sort of 18 months now because everyone knows, you know, we were an aging team and, you know, we needed to replace certain players or players that we did have would have just been bit by players. Like maybe Henderson, he would have stayed, you know, Fabinho had a terrible season last year, but so did most of the rest of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a good last few games, didn't he? You know,
I think when we bought McAllister and Szoboszlai at the beginning of the window, obviously, Klopp would have thought Henderson and Fabinho were staying, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't have known that bid was coming in, you know.
Well, probably they would have kept Ole Milner. No, MC were going just for cover, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, so that's your only...
Hopefully, by the time this goes out on Saturday, you know, Endo's doing his medical now. So he'll either pass his medical and we'll sign him or he'll fail his medical. But if we do sign him, that could be a Milner-esque type signing because it's against the strategy of the club, isn't it? Because usually you want to buy young and sell, you know, so they've got sell-on value later on. But, you know, he's 30, I think, isn't he? But he's also, he's the captain of Japan. He's a cult hero in Stuttgart. And, you know, he could be the nutter we need, couldn't he?
Well, so was Minamino in Salzburg, wasn't he? You know, great play when he played against us.
Yeah.
You know, and he just couldn't actually go deep.
You can never tell. No.
But now we know we'll get the last chance, obviously. But it's as you said, it's gone against all the thoughts what Klopp and FSG think of, you know, buying all the players, you know, TCs. Now, is it true that we've only got one more spot now that we've got Endo to bring another player in from overseas?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you see these things on the internet, you don't know if they're true or not, though, do you? That's the problem. And it's like, it's like the financial fair play. Everyone's saying, how can Chelsea get away with
do
this?
That?
But they've got like they've got creative accountants, and I've seen articles, and I think John's seen the article as well of how they're gonna get away with it. But I've heard other people saying no, they won't get away with it because you know. So it's impossible to say, isn't it? It's just depends who's accountants.
There's one on the BBC website which sort of suggested that, for argument's sake, if they've put out a total package sale of 180 million for Casado and Lavia, and they've done it. Remember, the Premier League rules allowed them to do it over 8 years.
Yeah.
UEFA tightened their rules to 5 years, but for whatever reason, the Premier League didn't think they should do it.
Yeah.
So Chelsea can argue, we've only actually spent 25 million.
Because
it's over 8 years.
Yeah, it's like a mortgage, isn't it? It's like taking a mortgage.
Chelsea then sell, for example, that Lewis Hall.
Yeah.
I think he's a graduate fella. But certainly the other guy is, the one who went to Crystal Palace last season on loan, Gallagher,
yeah.
If you sell Gallagher for 30 million, it wipes out their transfer dealings.
Yeah, for this season.
And that's how they're doing it.
So anyway,
simple terms.
I think we should start talking about football now rather than accountants. But you know, Chelsea, I mean, positives and negatives in the game. I mean, what Mauro, what would you say were the positives?
First half, probably. I thought we played well. We controlled the game. They never got at us, did they? 1-0 up. Unfortunate, you know, not to go two up. Salah then hits the bar as well, and
we're
totally in control.
But we were ripping them apart, weren't we?
But it was just after you know the disallowed goal, wasn't it? We seemed to just come right back into it.
That seems to give Chelsea the lift.
The emphasis,
and like if that had gone in. You know, I've got no doubt Liverpool would have gone on to win the game.
It was last season, we went 2-0 up, and then it was 2-2 at our time, but we could have went in 3-2 down. They just come right back at us. So that's, you know, that's the way Liverpool and Chelsea like the games down at Stamford Bridge. But it's just, it was, you know, so frustrating again, wasn't it? You know, I thought, well, the second half, you know, we're kicking to all our fans kind of thing. We get it going. The only two sort of good opportunities was the shots from Van Dijk and Nunes, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nunes, when his hairband fell out.
Yeah, I thought it was Andy Carroll coming back for a minute there.
I know, that was disturbing, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah.
But John, any what were the negatives then, would you say, from looking at the match?
Well, as Mono was saying, after half an hour, I'm thinking we'll end up winning this 3-4-0. After 60 minutes, I'm thinking, I'll take a point now.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little few minutes at the start of the second half, and then once Chelsea got a grip again, I thought, we're not, you know, they're going to win this, you know, more opportunity than us. So, I don't know. We seem to get a bit tired, a lot of them, really. We're getting caught. Like, Trent almost got caught once, and then did get caught when they went on a break, and then he scored.
Some of us,
not just Dungeons, but the team. Yeah, they seem to just be just a little bit slower in the second half, as if the game had caught up with them somehow. Now, I know that may, you know, it might be that's what happened. I don't know. But Klopp will tell you, like, the Liverpool train for the season, don't they? They don't train for the first game. They train to be fit for the season. So maybe that's understandable, albeit Chelsea seems to get a bit stronger.
Rouge on the Blood Red Channel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy Priceline.
The only thing was, it wasn't as bad, but it had similarities to the Fulham game at the start of last season in respect to, you know, we sort of run out of steam, didn't we? And they got on top of us. So, but I, in saying all that, I thought we played well. Considering all the pressure we were under and all what we spoke about before, all the noise outside the game and what was going on, I thought he played well.
Yeah, well, compared to the, you know, it's interesting to mention the Fulham game. I was going to mention that because compared to that, you know, after the Fulham game, you're thinking we've got serious problems here. Yeah, yeah. It didn't feel like that after the Chelsea game.
I just thought, all right. You know, I know they had apparently 65%. We had look watching the game. I couldn't see that. I'm not saying it wasn't the case, but I don't think we were that bad on the ball. I thought we played all right in a lot of most of the game. To be honest,
yeah. I mean, in terms of the personnel, I mean, it was probably the defense was the first choice defense, wasn't it? Had McAllister, Szoboszlai. I mean, I thought he played well, both of them. He's playing slightly out of position, McAllister. But in terms of the attack, you know, they're going to do some damage this season, aren't they? The five world class players, aren't they, that we've got to choose from, you know? And I think if Gakpo had given that pass to Salah a little bit more accurately,
he should have been greedy, shouldn't he?
You know,
he scored there quite easily.
I mean, you know, Salah was obviously frustrated because when he was substituted, he started pulling his bandages off and throw. I mean, it was a bit disappointing to see, but also you don't want to see him being made up to be getting taken off. So it's one of them. It's the heat of the moment, isn't it?
We've had this conversation before about Salah. Salah seems to be the one who gets sort of highlighted when he gets taken off. Mane was the same one. Mane didn't like it. There's nothing wrong with showing it. You know what I mean?
The suit and were always the same, Andy. Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, you know, even though he scored the goal that was offside, know what I mean, and he hit the bar, and he made the goal, but then when Doug come on for him, Doug just give us another 15 minutes of something different, didn't he?
He looked, I mean, he gave his energy back,
yeah.
You know, I know people saying, he's running into blind alleys, but no, he gives us energy, and he'll take anyone on, and he's an outstanding prospect, isn't he?
Even pre-season, I thought he was good. You know, he was running at the teams and that. I think
he's only 12, isn't he?
He's a great prospect, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I thought Elliot did well.
He didn't pre-season as well. Then, so for me, stood out. You know, I think Ngakoue. I thought they'd done very well. But back to Salopis, Klopp played it down, didn't he? He'll be playing on next week. Don't worry about it.
That was the right attitude, wasn't it? And I think
don't make nothing about it.
Yeah. I mean, Nunes, Johnny, he looked lively when he come on, didn't he? You know, especially when his hairband came off. You know.
but he did. Yeah, he's having a little go, putting himself around. It's not always easy for the sub when he comes on to have an impact. But I thought all of them, you just mentioned him, Doak and Elliot, they all contributed.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. It's all positive.
I mean, the manager's got to make these decisions. If he thinks it needs livening up, just want Chelsea to get a grip on the game. Because he seems to be in control of the game, but they weren't damaging us that much. But we needed more energy, didn't we? You could see we needed more.
We'd lost it, and we looked like we were just lagging a bit in terms of getting to the ball first, they were getting stronger.
Yeah.
There has to be change.
Yeah, and I know, obviously, we've been talking about it, which we haven't got, but he'd have been criticised more if he would have shut up shop and brought someone defensively on to just keep the points, probably, other than bringing on two players to try and win the game. Because that's what that's what he was trying to win the game at the end.
Well, it's just like what you said
before. Can't win, can it? You know what I mean?
And it's like what you said before, we want to do some damage with these strikers that we've got. There's three or four on the pitch, we've got another two on the bench, to move it again. So, we've got an abundance of strikers. And so, what's going to be good for future games as the season goes on, when sort of the defences, have been run ragged by Salah or, and whoever he picks up from Nunes or whatever, we've got others to come on to keep at them again. So, it'll be good for us, going forward this season.
Yeah. Well, there's been lots of debate about the GBH from the United goalie on the Wolves players, but hardly anything about the blatant handball, which is a handball, isn't it? In any other parallel universe, that's a handball, isn't it? I mean, I still don't know why it wasn't given. Because that ball is going in the net, isn't it?
He said it wasn't clear and obvious. Who's who?
Yeah. So the Chelsea official who's on VAR probably. But I mean, yeah. it's farcical, isn't it? You know, you know, you've seen enough games over the weekend to say you said you changed things, but nothing's changed. It's just as bad, isn't it?
Yeah. The ones from the United game, they're all suspended.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, for the first game, well, not the last game of the season, of the first week of the season, for the referees to come out and apologise and say we should have had a pen and then suspend all that lot after one game, that just says it all. It's ridiculous. You know, what does that, doesn't fill you with any hope for the rest of the season, does it?
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
What does your little black book say, John? I mean, on the referee's black book,
we're just no better off, are we, with these officials and VAR?
No.
You know, I remember when we had that debate with Mike Riley about 3 years ago, and I remember saying to him, all that you've done is added another official 200 miles away who'll make a subjective decision, what his opinion is. And he said, no, we won't. Everything in the studio will be to the letter of the law, and it'll be consistent. And it's not, because that handball on Sunday, somewhere this weekend or the weekend after, will be a very, very similar one, and it will be given as a pen.
Yeah. It's the inconsistency that frustrates everyone so much, you know.
And the goalkeeper that you mentioned, Man United's goalkeeper, you know, somewhere this weekend, something will happen like that, and it'll be given as a pen.
Yeah. Yeah, but also, you know, Salah, when he got given offside, from what I could see on the telly, it was part of his arm that was offside, and his body seemed to be in line with the last defender, but he was running forward. I thought that had been stopped to allow the attacker to have the advantage. I don't know the rules anymore. Honestly,
that's in a few countries in Europe, but it hasn't come here yet.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
So we would have got the benefit of the doubt. Well, Salah would have got the benefit of the doubt of it because. Yeah. His body was ahead, but his leg was back online.
His feet were online with the fella. It's just his arm, wasn't it? That bandage that came offside, wasn't it?
But I mean, in general, like, you know, I wasn't too down after the game. It was like a feeling of like there are positives there, and I thought, you know, if you look at the midfield we had last season against Fulham, and then you look at what we had against Chelsea. It is positive, isn't it? I mean, McAllister's going to be a player, isn't he? And Szoboszlai, I mean,
no, we've got Endo now.
It's a team full of captains, isn't it? You've got about five captains in the team now if Endo signs, haven't you? You know, I mean, so that's surely that in terms of leadership, that's good. I mean, I don't think we can only judge Liverpool when the transfer window shuts. I think all the panicking on social media, it's just not the Liverpool way, is it?
Well, you just hit it on the head there, Peter. Panic on social media. We don't play football on social media. We play on a piece of grass, don't we? And they've got to be allowed to get what they do and put it into place.
We've seen it all before, haven't we, over the years? Yeah, exactly. When Keegan left, when Rush left, we've seen it all before.
You know yourself now, it's absolutely ridiculous now, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone's got an opinion, which is fair enough. But most of the opinions are absolute crap, aren't they? That's about it.
Apart from ours.
Ours is great. Ours are relevant.
No, but listen, we've always said it before again, you know, we knew we had to address the midfield.
So that's what
I can get what everyone's saying, you know what I mean? But when it's absolute meltdown, it's a different ballgame.
Well, Klopp's known that because he went for Tchouaméni, didn't he? But you know, he couldn't get the players he wanted, so he must have thought, I'm okay next. And no one saw, you know, the drop-off from going for the quadruple to last season, did he? I think it surprised everyone. It probably surprised Klopp, didn't it? It probably surprised everyone.
So Pete said, you know, when we got to two signings early doors this season, surely they went, we need four right away.
Yeah, definitely. Let's
get them. Now, did Caicedo at this late stage say, did that come as a panic buy, really? I'm not saying a panic buy as in he's a great player, in my opinion. Yeah, I think he would have fitted great in our midfield, you know. It's exactly what we want, by the way, you know, yeah. I think. But why leave it that late? No.
Yeah.
You know, Arsenal had already made 80 million bid for him. You know, we're going back to this now, but earlier on, knocked it back. So they walked away from it, didn't they? But then, if you're not going to get in, get, you know, who's your second one, then who's your third?
Yeah. Well, we've been linked with so many midfield players over the summer. it's just getting, you know, it's getting ridiculous, isn't it? We think we're hammering about now, aren't we? Yeah. We played played in the World Cup, did a great job in the World Cup, but also Decore from Crystal Palace. So it just seems to be linked with so many players, but you know, I like the fact that we're not linked with them and they just buy them, you know, and that's what we want, isn't it, really? You know.
But you know, they've also got I think you got injured towards the end of the season. What was the young Spanish guy? The name, the excuse, you know.
Machete.
No, so you know, we done well, didn't he? You know what I mean? Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe see a future in him. Because I was just gonna say, you know, we're trying to bring Casado's 21, by the way, apparently. You know, our academy are bringing two players to a point, but why aren't we bringing someone in the mold of someone like that who can step into the scene? You know, I mean, it's a specialist job, but I'm sure there's enough kids around who you could sort of mold and manipulate into what you need them to be. You can't just keep going relying on buying people. You've got to bring our own people through as well, haven't you? Well, try to, anyway.
Yeah, and I think Klopp's going to try and do that, isn't he? Klopp's going to do that, isn't he?
Hopefully, he's doing his best, but, you know, he's got to be giving up, hasn't he? You know what I mean? I don't know.
I think also now that, you know, it's just people want, you know, people don't want another season like last season, do they? So they're looking for, like, this rebuild. You know, it was early doors in the summer. Everyone's dead excited. Oh yeah, it's gonna happen, and it hasn't come to fruition for whatever reason. We're not privy to the ins and outs of what goes on behind the scenes. You know, but it just—I mean, a lot of journalists have been hinting at it. You know, the Klopp was loyal to Henderson and Fabinho, and he offered them extensions on the deal, whereas Michael Edwards, who was at the club a couple of years ago, didn't want that, and he wanted to buy other players. One of them was allegedly was Fernandez, wasn't he? For 15 million. And Klopp he said, no, I'm going to be loyal to Henderson and Fabinho because they've won us the league. And in a way, you admire that, don't you? But it's almost like Shankly being too loyal to his 60s team before he rebuilt his second team, wasn't it? And then it was certain results which made him think, I've got to do something. And sure, Klopp's in that mindset now after last season. You know, that's why he's let Henderson and Fabinho go.
Yeah, but prior to that, Peter, you're talking about last season gone, but you're talking about him being too loyal. The season before, we nearly won four trophies in one season.
No,
with them players. So you can't have it both ways, can you?
No. That's what I'm saying. I mean, people would, you know, being devil's advocate and saying, you know, was he too loyal? Was he too loyal? I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I think if you've just won the league and then two of your main players, Henderson, Fabinho, are looking to get extensions on the contract. I don't blame him for standing by them and saying, and going against the club and saying, look, no, these should be getting the extensions.
I
believe FSG didn't want that because they're probably more ruthless, aren't they, in terms of. Yeah. You know, it's a cattle market, isn't it? You know, they're getting advice off people saying, oh no, we think we should be buying younger talent. So it'll only come out in the books when the books are written in 10 years' time on what exactly's happened. But I'm sure Klopp, after last season, he knows what to do, and we've got to put our trust in him, haven't we?
We always do, people, but as we said before, so why pay 19 million euros, whatever it is, for a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
So, it's
a stopgap, isn't it?
Well, you know, they've never done it. So they just let two 30-year-olds go.
Yeah.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
But the links with the Andre Ante for Fluminense and Neil, and he can't come because the Copa Libertadores second leg's not till the 1st of September after the window. So maybe they're thinking, we'll sign him and we'll get Andre in January. You just don't know, do you? So I mean, it's all.
So it's a roll-on game like the Bellingham saga. You know, we'll get him next season. You know, we'll not get him in this window. We're going to get him, in the summer.
Bellingham thing was straightened. But Liverpool pulled out of that. But they must have been told, mustn't he? No, he wants to go to Real Madrid.
He wants to go to Real Madrid. Yeah, of course.
You know, because the money's obviously there.
Yeah,
we've just seen that.
Yeah, you know.
We've seen that with the bid.
Yeah, so the money was there eventually to buy a player. So why not go and break the bank for Bellingham early on? You know, all the signs were that he wants to sign for Liverpool. But he didn't do it. He chose not to. So you can understand people from the outside looking in saying, you're just panicking now. Yeah. And you can understand that by doing things like that.
Well, we've got Bournemouth next game, and 9-0 last season. Are we expecting anything like that with our ruthless attack? Do we need a defensive midfielder at home to Bournemouth, Mono?
Well, after the away game, we did. But I think our first home game of the season, obviously the card will be up for whoever's in there. we'll speak about that one later, I think. I'm just going for a home win. I think we'll absolutely batter them, you know, with all due respect to them. Stars, as you say, first home game, the crowd will be up for it again.
Yeah.
So all the trials and tribulations of the transfer window will be forgotten for the day.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put on a good performance because, you know, we've got a good team, a second team, and I think it'll be very hard for Bournemouth to stop us, to be honest.
Yeah. John, is that, you know, no one's going to bet on 9-0, are they? But you're expecting a good...
Not 9-0, maybe like 9-6. The way we've been defending in pre-season.
Yeah. Come on, surely it's not that bad, surely.
Well, I think we're in for a bit of a roller coaster season.
Have you seen Solanke play? I mean,
did he score?
Scored last week.
Yeah, he did.
He got
man of the match.
Yeah, he did. I think he's doing well last season for him. Yeah.
But yeah, you'd expect that Liverpool should have too much for them.
Yeah.
But every game needs to be won.
Yeah. I mean, it was no surprise that the Anfield Road wasn't going to be ready, was it?
No, that was
the worst kept secret in the city, wasn't it?
Yeah.
People were videoing it with.
Yeah, you know, I suppose he's obviously. I worked on there for a bit, as you know, and stays away. You can see, I'm not trying to put myself in trouble by whatever, but it's probably the one of the worst jobs I've been on for a long time in respect of the way it was organised, the way it was done. You can see that as soon as I walked on it. So,
yeah,
it didn't surprise me. And, you know, obviously there's news broke today about what's gone on with the builders and
club Buckingham going into administration,
And, you know,
it's terrible for all the workers. But
subcontractors,
won't he?
Yeah, but, you know, there'll be a lot of people there, like, who are through agencies and everything else, and subcontractors who won't get paid. As much as it's our football club, and you know we want it to work, but there's a lot of stuff in the background which is going to cause a lot of problems for people. And you know, I hadn't been on it. I was only on there for about 6 weeks, and I could see it straight away. It was never going to be ready in time.
Even before
Buckingham was willing to apply for the administration, it was never going to be ready.
Yeah,
and that's just the fact of life, and that's just the way the building game goes. You go on some good jobs and bad jobs, but you think such a prestigious job as what happened there on Anfield should never get to that stage, and that's to be sorted out in the near distant future. Who made them decisions to allow this to happen? Because in my opinion, it's just about going for the cheapest person who's going to build your stand, and that's not always the best way to do it. You know, that's the cheapest doesn't always mean it's the best. In my opinion,
I've also got to mention the lad who died on the
Bramley Moor,
on Bramley Moor. So sympathies and condolences to his family. It was absolutely tragic, and I think
so sad.
The whole Merseyside football community would be united in that, I think.
Yeah, without doubt. Such a sad story.
On a brighter note, have you been watching the Women's World Cup? Because we've got our very own Alex Greenwood, who's from my old school, Savio Salesian and Bootle, and Carragher's old school, and she plays in defence, and she used to play for the Liverpool Women. She played for Everton as well, but played for Liverpool as well, and they've got a chance of winning, haven't they, on Sunday? Will you be watching it, Mono?
I'd probably be hungover after Keith Dawson's wedding, to be honest with
you.
So let's see.
Okay. That's a very diplomatic answer. Thank you very much, Mono. John, have you been watching any of it?
I've watched a couple of bits. I haven't sat down and watched the full match.
I've enjoyed some of the games. You know, my daughter used to play you know, kids' footy for Everton. So, I mean, I've enjoyed it, you know, but, I mean, they're getting brilliant figures, viewing figures. I mean, it was, you know, it'll be absolutely massive, I think, on Sunday. Keith, have you caught any of it, or it's been in the daytime when you're at work?
I haven't watched any of it, I'll be honest with you. So, no, I haven't watched any. And without being, no, I wouldn't watch it, to be honest with you. It's just,
yeah. I've enjoyed it. I love watching all football, kids, all types of football. I mean, you're the same, Mono, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's as a match going in on the park.
It's early kickoffs, you know, we're at work. Yeah. I can't watch it. Simple as that, you know.
Yeah.
But I do know about the Liverpool girls. So, yeah, good luck to her.
Yeah. So, good luck to them. So, yeah, anything else you want to mention? We've got Tony Caveney's night at the Flory. Is that still going ahead? It's on Saturday night, isn't it?
That's this Saturday, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's after the Bournemouth game, yeah. Good luck to Tony. You've got to mention that.
That's a brilliant initiative, that, you know, everything that Tony does. And Tony's becoming quite a regular on Ali La Rouge as well. So it's been, you know, it's going to be, put it this way, I'm pretty positive about this season. I'm not as negative as I was after the Fulham game last season. I think because we're in the Europa, so the demands of the Champions League aren't there. So we end up playing some of the kids the early rounds. I think Liverpool will have a decent season. You know, I'm not saying we're going to challenge City, but you never know. It's all down to injuries, isn't it? De Bruyne is out for 4 months now, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, anyone can get injured at any. And look at Arsenal; they've just strengthened with Timber, and he's got an ACL injury now, and he's out. Yeah. So it's all down to luck as well and keeping injury free, isn't it? I think if we keep Van Dijk and Konate injury free, you know, we've got a chance of getting back into the top four at least, you know.
I think that's been the monk, lads, over the centre-backs, hasn't it? We've got no cover, really.
That's the problem.
If either of them get injured. You know, we've got Gomez coming. I know Phillips is still there, but, you know...
We need strengthening there as well.
I'm not putting a down on it because I think we'll have hopefully a good season. You know. These Europa League games. You know.
Yeah, might go to some mad places. Might be. Might go to some mad places. You've been listening to Ali La Rouge, and hopefully you listen to all the other Blood Red podcasts as well. Analyze Anfield, Poetry and Motion. And I was with Neil last Thursday when we did a Bosch night, when the third kit launch was on. And one of the greatest moments anyone will ever see is John Barnes getting up and doing Rappers Delight. You can't beat it. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get off to a good start against Bournemouth and get 3 points on the board, and look forward to the rest of the season. Thanks, Mono. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, John. And Ali La Rouge.
Up the Reds.
You've been listening to the Ali La Rouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel.